I'm just so excited about today, just to see what God has to say for us. Father, we are just grateful for yet another day that you have given us to come together in prayer, to lift up your name, and just to engage with heaven. We ask, O God, let thy kingdom come, and thy will be done as we pray in the name of Jesus. We are coming not in our own name, nor we're coming in our own righteousness, nor we're coming in our own strength, but we are coming in the name of our Lord and Savior, the author and the finisher of our faith, the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. And we say, O God, tonight let our hearts be open, our ears be open. Let our minds, O God, be ready to understand and to receive whatever it is that heaven has for us. We pray for every man and every woman that is going to be on the line tonight. We pray for a special impartation of grace, a release of a measure of anointing upon their lives, an activation of the giftings and callings upon their life, bring an acceleration towards their destiny and the manifestation and fulfillment of the purposes and plans that you have for their lives. Let their minds, O God, be set on you, their affections be set on you, and their hearts, O God, be set on you. Let all glory, O God, and all honor and all praise be given to you, O God, when everything is said and done. Holy Spirit, we give you control, lead and guide in this prayer, that we may be effective, that we may engage in the intensity and capacity that heaven has required of us tonight. We ask, O God, for the opening up of blind eyes to be able to see beyond the words that are spoken, but for us to be able to see exactly what heaven intends for us to understand. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, that God, you are going to do something remarkable in the lives of those that are here tonight, even in the households that they are representing. Let something of great significance take place. For your name's sake, O God, move in might and move in power. And as we pray, O God, let the name of our Lord and Savior take preeminence in all things. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, that we may be firmly established in the Word of God, be established in the Spirit of God, that we may be able to move in synchronicity with what heaven has ordained. For your glory, O God, we declare that this is a glorious hour, and for all the things you've already done that we are about to see, things that you are about to reveal, we give you praise, for we know that it is all good. Somebody say hallelujah. It is all good. Now, I did promise last week that we are going to speak about some things on the prophetic. I'm going to jump between a few things just to bring some points across. I know that I won't be able to finish everything. So we're going to do a small teaching, and from that small teaching, we'll pivot and go into our prayer. What I want to work on first is, let me see if I can get the scripture what we want to read tonight. It's a bit of a lengthy reading, but it's very important for us to read it. We are going to read from the book of 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. It's 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. We'll read from, it's from verse number 3. It goes all the way to verse number 28. I might skip some in between, but that's going to be the main passage of scripture we're going to be using to deliberate on some of the things that we promised we're going to speak about last week. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So it's 1 Kings chapter number 22, verse number 3 to verse number 28. And it says, and the king of Israel said to his servants, if you go to verse number 1, it says that now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And verse number 3 says, "And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. So he said to Jehoshaphat," this is the king of Israel, "will you go with me to fight Ramoth Gilead?" Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." That's what Jehoshaphat is saying. Please inquire of the king of the word of the Lord today. Verse number 6, "Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire him?" If you look at what they have in that verse, it said he gathered about 400 men. These are the prophets. And he said, "Shall I go to Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain?" And so they said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" Verse number 8, "So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring Micaiah the son of Imlah quickly." The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah, having put on their robes, set each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Remember, there were 400 prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah the son of Chenah had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall go the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Now listen. The words of the prophet with one accord, of the prophets with one accord, encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak." Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain?" And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." So the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let each return to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Then Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord." Now I want you to listen to the verse number 19. It says, "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab," that's the king of Israel, "who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead. So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in the manner. These are angels. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Did you hear that? I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenan, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek, said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, indeed you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. So the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, that's actually a very interesting scripture to read. You can tell from the way that it is being presented that you have got Ahab, who is the king of Israel, and you have got Jehoshaphat, who is the king of Judah. They've got together in an alliance, and they are about to go and fight against the army of the Syrians. And the Bible says that he gathered, that's Ahab. Remember Ahab, if you want to know the background story, these are the days of Elijah. Ahab was the king. Jezebel was the queen. Anybody remember that? Jezebel and Ahab were married together, and there was a judgment pronounced on the house of Ahab concerning the destruction of the house of Ahab because of the iniquity and the sin. But there were also, the Bible speaks about the prophets that were eating at Jezebel's table. Somebody say hallelujah. So they were about to go into war, and the king of Judah inquired, they said, let's inquire of the prophets to hear the word of the Lord. And the Bible says that Ahab gathered 400 prophets around him, and they were all prophesying, go up to war, go and fight, for the Lord has given the Gilead or the Syrians into your hand. But Jehoshaphat inquired, is there still no prophet in the land of Israel? Imagine that. There are 400 prophets gathered together, and they said, is there still a prophet that we may inquire of the Lord? And Ahab said, there is one man, and his name is Micaiah. But the problem is with Micaiah is he does not prophesy good things to me. He only says bad things to me. Somebody say hallelujah. He doesn't prophesy good things to me. He only prophesies bad things to me. So what I want to say is that when you look at that particular scripture, sometimes when we're dealing with the prophetic, we are looking for a good word. Somebody say hallelujah. We are looking for a good word. We're looking for a word that affirms us, a word that encourages us, a word that is positively and reinforcing what we want to do. So sometimes we tend to gravitate towards prophets that speak things that we want to hear. Anybody hearing me? We gravitate towards prophets that speak what we want to hear. Micaiah, his problem that Ahab had a problem with Micaiah, but the problem that he had with Micaiah was not that Micaiah was a lying prophet, but he was saying he never prophesied any good to me. He's always prophesying evil. But Micaiah was always speaking the truth according to what God has ordained. So Sometimes you gather a multitude of prophets around you to do or to encourage you in doing what you want to do. But the problem is, there is a lying spirit that is there. Somebody say hallelujah. They are prophesying, but there's a lying spirit there. Now, let me just make a jump here to say, basically, when you are dealing with the prophetic, it is important to understand by which spirit do you prophesy. Anybody hearing me? It is very important for you to understand by what spirit the prophet is speaking. The Bible says that you have to try what? Try every spirit. Because the spirit that the prophet is speaking through determines whether that word is a prophetic word to you coming from a place of truth, or it's a word being spoken from a place of deception. Okay? There are three spirits, general classifications of spirits that you're going to be dealing with when you deal with the prophetic. You have got the Spirit of God. Somebody say hallelujah. The Spirit of God, who is the Holy Spirit. So they are going to prophesy by the Spirit of God. That's number one. Then number two, you have the human spirit, which is the spirit of man. We usually use the word the spirit of the flesh, or prophesying by the flesh. Then you have the third spirit, which is the spirit of the devil, the spirit of evil. So you have got three spirits, the spirit of God, the spirit of man, and the spirit of what? Of the devil. So a prophet, a prophetic word, or a prophet can operate in one of those three, with only one of them being a true prophetic word. Somebody say hallelujah. So you may hear a prophet begin to prophesy to you and begin telling you some things, but are they prophesying from the flesh, or are they prophesying from the Spirit of God, or are they prophesying from the spirit of the evil one? Somebody say hallelujah. I'm just giving you what is there. The Bible says that there were angels that were standing before God, and there is a spirit that came up and said, I know how we're going to send him to war. I'm going to go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophet. Somebody say hallelujah. So there are some prophets that are speaking, but they are not speaking from the spirit of truth. They are speaking through a lying spirit. Somebody say hallelujah. So we've got three things that we want to emphasize. Number one, you've got the spirit of God, you've got the spirit of man, and you've got the spirit of evil. So three kinds of spirits. So a prophet can be prophesying from the spirit of the flesh. A prophet can be prophesying from the spirit of the devil. A prophet can be prophesying from the spirit of God. If one is speaking from the spirit of God, then most likely or most definitely they are prophesying from the spirit of truth. Now, let me give you a bit more scripture. Number one, understand, just giving you a background, the prophetic, and we're going to pray. Number one, understand that a prophetic office is a very important office in terms of the fivefold ministry. It is a very important office. We know the gifts of the Spirit are given for what? For the perfecting of what? Perfecting of the saints. So the prophetic gift is very important. But this you have to understand. I'm going to jump over from 1 Kings 22 to go to is the book of Ezekiel. In the Ezekiel, the first chapter, verse number 1, it says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Cheba, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. You see, when you look at the way that Ezekiel was revealed as a prophet, Ezekiel did not appoint himself as a prophet. Ezekiel did not appoint himself as a prophet. If you look at the prophet Elijah, if you look at the prophet Elisha, if you look at the prophet Jeremiah, if you look at the prophet Isaiah, they did not appoint themselves as prophets. That means the prophetic office is not one that somebody can appoint themselves to. It's an office that is appointed to by God. So a prophet, a true prophet, does not appoint himself. He's appointed by God. This is what he says, I saw visions of God. Now, let's look at, so prophets do not choose themselves to be prophets, but they are chosen by God. The call of the prophet, of the office of the prophet, is by design, by divine initiative. It is God who chooses who is going to be a prophet and who is not going to be a prophet. Okay. Here's what next thing. In Ezekiel, the second chapter, verse number 3. Here's this is what Ezekiel was told. Thou shalt say unto them. So a prophet does not speak what he wants. He has to speak what God is saying. Here's the thing I said. You are sent by God to a specific people. And in that place, you do not say the things that you think or the things that you desire, but you will say the things that God wants to make known. Anybody hearing me? Because as a prophet, you stand in the office of a prophet to speak on behalf of God. To speak on behalf of God. Here's what it says in Ezekiel 2, verse number 7. And thou shalt speak my words unto them. Not your words, but the words that God says, thou shalt speak to them my words. So a prophet now does not speak his own opinion as a prophetic word. A prophet has to speak what God wants the people to know. Here's what happens in Ezekiel chapter number 2, verse number 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. I'm going to read it again. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Hear. So a prophet, because a prophet is going to be speaking on behalf of God, he has to be able to hear the voice of God. So you don't speak what you want to say, you speak what God wants to have said. For you to speak what God wants to have said, you have to speak what? You have to speak what you hear. You have to speak what you see. Now watch this now. When they define what is a prophet, I found one definition that was quite intriguing. It says, what is a prophet? One who is divinely inspired to communicate God's will to his people. Did you get that? A prophet is an individual who is divinely inspired to communicate God's will to his people. So there is divine inspiration, which is the leading of a spirit, the divine leading of God. Now watch this. Ezekiel 11, verse number 5. Ezekiel 11, verse number 5. I'm going to read just like the ending part of that verse. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak. The Spirit fell on me and then he said, speak. So I am not speaking in terms of my own understanding. I am not speaking in terms of my own opinion. Remember, it's one who is divinely inspired. That divine inspiration is to speak by the Spirit of God. So a prophetic word must be spoken by the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible says, try every spirit. Try every spirit. Because a prophetic word has to come from a place of divine inspiration. Divine inspiration. Now, we said it's to. The idea is that we are living in a day and age where there are many self-appointed prophets, apostles, evangelists, and all those different things. But we, as the people of the living God, have to understand that we have a responsibility. And our responsibility is for us not just to receive. I know we are supposed to receive a prophet as a prophet. As if you receive a prophet as a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. But if you receive a prophet as a righteous man, you will receive a righteous man's reward. I know we're supposed to receive a prophet as a prophet. We're supposed to receive the prophetic word that they say. But we have a responsibility. It's a twofold responsibility. One, the prophet has a responsibility. Number two, the people that are receiving the prophetic word also have a responsibility. Our responsibility now is to be able to try the spirit behind the prophetic word. To have a level of discernment, to be able to discern whether this is a prophetic word from God, or it's a word coming from the spirit or from the kingdom of darkness, or it's a word that is manufactured by the flesh. You see, all the 400 prophets that were around Jehoshaphat and Ahab, they were speaking what they wanted to hear. They were speaking what Jehoshaphat wanted to hear. Go and fight. You are going to win. But then the subsequent verses now give you a picture of what heaven has sanctioned. Anybody hearing me? So when Micaiah is coming to speak, Micaiah is coming to say, listen, this is what God has determined. You are not going to win. You are going to die. But this is what's happening in the heavens, because this is now a true prophet who is telling you what is happening in the heavens. He's not afraid of what people are going to say. It's getting to a place whereby we say to ourselves, you get into a prophetic service and everybody's telling you God is going to open doors for you that no man can shut. That's the commonality of the common prevailing prophetic word being declared in the atmosphere. That God is going to break some chains, that God is going to liberate you. But somebody else stands up and says, listen, this is what God is saying. There are doors that are shut before you that are not going to be open in this season. And chances are you won't receive that prophetic word because they are not speaking what you want to hear. Oh, God help me. Sometimes we're in a place where we are looking for people to come and tell us, yes, God is going to give you houses you did not build. God is going to give you vineyards you did not plant. God is going to give you a new car. God is going to give you a new house. God is going to give you a new husband. God is going to give you a new wife. God is going to give you a new job. That's what we want to hear, that there's a promotion coming your way. But somebody stands up and say, thus says the Lord, get your house in order. We won't receive that because it's contrary to what we want to hear. So the king is saying, I don't want to listen to what Micaiah is saying, not because it doesn't speak the truth, but it doesn't prophesy any good thing to me. Because it's not important it's not important for you to hear a good prophetic word. It's important for you to hear a true prophetic word. Because a true prophetic word is one that is being sent to reveal to you what God has determined. What God has said. Here's the danger that we have. Remember, we said there are three spirits: the spirit of God, the spirit of man, and the spirit of the kingdom of darkness. So the spirit of the devil can cause them. That's why they are called what? False prophets, lying prophets. They are prophesying by the spirit of the devil. But then there is what we call prophesying. We talked about the works of the flesh, prophesying by the spirit of man. Because I know you, I know what your desires are. I'm going to speak a word to you to hear that is going to confirm what you want to do, even though God has not said it. Let me just put this in a proper format for you. Just because somebody says, thus says the Lord, it does not mean thus says the Lord. So you have to be able to say, God, I know the prophetic. I'm not saying it's a lack of faith. Yes, let me put it this way. Questioning or trying to understand the prophetic word you have received is not a doubt. It's not a lack of faith. It's a desire to understand. So you have a responsibility. Just because it's a prophet who has spoken, because they have a title of a prophet, you cannot just take that word and run with it. My pastor is always telling me, I will believe the word of Isaiah at any given moment. Because Isaiah has a proven record. I can believe the words of Ezekiel. I can believe the words of Elijah because they have a proven track record. But our day and age, prophets rising up, appointing themselves to offices, coming and giving you a false prophetic superlative word to cause you to believe and get into a place where what you are expecting doesn't manifest is because you have abdicated your responsibility of trying every spirit. Here's the thing, we deal with the spirit of witchcraft. Okay? Basically, when you're looking at a Western mindset, our understanding of witchcraft, we are looking at it from the perspective of a third world country where they are throwing bones, they're doing all those different things. Okay? Incantations, chantings, and all those different things. That's our perspective of witchcraft, okay? We always look at it from that perspective. But by basic definition, witchcraft is using manipulation or imposing your will, your self-will on somebody else. So, if a prophetic word being spoken from the kingdom of darkness, a prophetic word being spoken from the flesh is specifically designed to manipulate you, it's an act of witchcraft. God, I know that I'm hitting it hard tonight, but we have to get to a place of understanding. Here's the thing. A prophet has to speak what he hears. So he has to hear. He has to hear. The Bible says, let he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. So a prophet has to hear. Now, remember this. God will never speak anything that is contrary to his word. God will never ask you to do anything that contradicts what he has declared by his word. God will never send a prophetic word to give you instruction to do what violates his laws. God will never send a prophetic word to cause you to operate in a spirit of witchcraft, because God does not have a fellowship with darkness. He is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor is there any shadow of turning. So, number one, whenever you receive a prophetic word, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to see, God, am I able to discern, was this being spoken from the Spirit of God, or from the Spirit of man, or from the Spirit of the devil? Three things. Then, whatever prophetic word you have received, how does it measure up against the word of God? Now watch this. I hope I'm helping somebody here tonight. I hope I'm helping somebody here tonight. So you have to judge the prophetic word. But let me just give you a few more scriptures, then we're going to get into where we want to go. This is what Ezekiel says now in the 13th chapter, the 2nd verse. It says, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. You hear that? We said three things. Prophesying by the Spirit of God, prophesying by the Spirit of man, prophesying by the Spirit of the devil. Ezekiel says they are prophesying out of their own hearts. They have not heard from God, but they are prophesying from their own heart. Oh, help me, Jesus. So now, here is the thing that we want to do here. Whenever we say, number one, ask for God to give you discernment to be able to try every spirit. That's number one. Number two, the prophetic word you have received, how does it measure to what God has said in his word? How does it measure? How does it measure? How does it measure? How does it measure? So you have to know the word of God. You have to know the word of God. This is what Ezekiel says in the 13th chapter, the 6th verse. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, "Thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope that the word may be confirmed." They have not been sent by God, yet they say, "Thus says the Lord," and they are hoping that what they say is going to be confirmed so they can be affirmed as true prophets. Anybody hearing me? Now, I'm usually skeptical of people that put their title before they give it the word of God. "I am prophet so and so, so believe what I'm going to say." Anybody hearing me? "I'm prophet so and so, I'm going to say this to you, so believe me." Why do you want to put a disclaimer before you give me a prophetic word? I still have a responsibility to judge the prophetic word you're going to give me. So, it's important for us to pray for discernment, number one, to be able to tell what spirit are they prophesying with or by. Number two, we must be able to judge the prophetic word, what they are saying, just by the word of God, because the word of God is a plumb line. The word of God is a plumb line. And then, number three, we must judge. It says, "You shall know them by their fruit." Anybody know that? So you also have to look at the fruit of the prophet. Now, watch this. When you talk about the fruit, you go to Galatians. The fruit of what? Of the Spirit. Because if he is going to prophesy by the Spirit, then the Spirit must be ruling in his life. So what fruit does he have? When I say, listen, can I just step on some toes right here, if it's okay with you? Anyway, I'm in Houston, so you won't see my face for a while. Jesus help me. Here's the thing. Having cars in your garage is not a fruit of the Spirit. Having nice houses is not a fruit of the Spirit. Being dressed in a flash and trendy suit is not a fruit of the Spirit. Because most of us, we judge a prophet by how he dresses. We judge a prophet by what he drives, by where he lives. But you see, when it comes to being a prophet, God does not look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. So it is. Galatians 5 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revels, and the like." Right? Verse number 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So when you're looking at the prophet now, we say you have to judge what? Look at the Spirit. Judge them by their fruit. Not the cars that they drive. Not the houses where they live. But judge them by their fruit. And this is the fruit that you're looking for. Is there love in their spirit? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there long suffering? Is there kindness? Is there goodness? Is there faithfulness? Is there gentleness? Is there self-control? Because if they don't have these, chances are the Spirit of God is far from them. So if the Spirit of God is far from them, by what spirit do they prophesy? So number one, judge. Ask God for discernment. Try every spirit, number one. Number two, their prophecies, how do they measure against the word of God? Number three, look at the character and nature of the prophet, because the things that are being mentioned here, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, these are going to be evident. That's number three. Notice on the three things that I've mentioned so far, I haven't spoken about their word coming to pass. Because most of us, we are looking, oh, they're true prophet, because what they prophesied 10 years ago came to pass, so they're a true prophet. Let me give you this and then we'll pray. Let me give you this and we'll pray. Because I want us to understand some things. You see, when we were doing science some time back, way back then, I don't know when. I now I'm old now. David said I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or their seed begged for, but I'm old now. But here's the thing. When we're doing statistics way before then, we used to do, when we're doing mathematics, we used to do what we call extrapolation. Okay? Extrapolation is actually defined as a calculation of the value of a function outside of the range of values. By another definition is this, an inference about the future based on known facts and observations. Okay? As an extrapolation. I can look at the facts that are here. I can look at the where we are right now and how things are going. I can extrapolate as to what is going to happen in the future. Okay? Let me say this. You drink every day and you drive whilst you're drunk. I can say you're going to have an accident soon. That's an extrapolation. That is not a prophecy. Anybody hearing me? Let me say this again. I can look at your condition where you're brought up, where you live, how you live, and I can give you with a higher level of probability what your future is going to look like. That is not a prophecy. That's a deduction. A logical conclusion as to where you are and where you're going, the trajectory of your life. If you're living in the Bay neighborhood, you are pushing drugs and you're living with drug dealers, I can tell you at some point in time you're going to go to jail. That is not a prophecy. Okay, let me just say this again. Prophecy is speaking what you hear. There's a difference between extrapolation and prophecy. There is a difference between a deduction and a prophecy. There's a difference between an induction and a prophecy. A prophecy is not a logical conclusion of the current circumstances you find yourself in. That's not a prophecy. Remember, we say the prophecy is a prophet is one who is under divine inspiration to speak on behalf of God. I'm not going to give you a logical deduction. Now, the intent of a prophetic word is to edify, to encourage, and to comfort. Okay? To edify, that's to build up, to encourage, and to comfort. But sometimes we are well intended in our hearts because we want to give a word of encouragement. So we say, "Thus says the Lord," but it's not the Lord, it's just what our heart feels for you. Now, I want us just to go into, I've got a few more minutes left now. Here's the thing. I will pick it up again next week, but here's the thing. never be caught up in a place where you are searching for a prophetic word more than you are searching for the face of God. Never get caught up in a place where you are more persuaded to look for a prophetic word than you are looking for the face of God. Because it is important, it is imperative for us to build our relationship with God, and out of that relationship, God will give you prophetic words. So, Father, right now we pray in the name of Jesus that, Father, we are embracing the responsibility you have given upon us, O God. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear clear and precise direction as to where we should go with our lives. Father, allow us to be able to discern what is true and what is not. Let us be able to know when the true prophets speak and ignore the voices of the false prophets in the name of Jesus. Let our desire, God, be not to hear words we want to hear, but to hear what heaven has to say. Let us build, oh God, help me. Before I go in, the Holy Spirit just reminded me just to share something with you, and we'll pray some more. Just something that I was going to forget, but he just reminded me that I need to share that with you tonight. Why is the prophetic so important? Remember, the Bible says we are built on the foundations of what? We are built on the foundations of the prophets and the apostles. So the reason why the devil is sending out false prophets in the world is to cause us to have shaky foundations. Because if we have shaky foundations, whatever we build on that shaky foundation can be destroyed in the day of adversity. So the devil wants to sow seeds of doubt, unfulfilled prophetic word, and doubting the prophetic. That's why he's so intent on discrediting the prophetic. But God is going to release the spirit of discernment. God is going to allow us to be able to know whether this is God or this is not God. God is going to open up our ears to understand what His word says concerning us. And whatever God says, we are not going to look for prophets that are going to tell us what we want to hear, but we are going to look for those that are saying what is in the mind and the heart of God. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, if somebody has to be delivered, O God, from the yoke of the false prophetic, let them be delivered tonight in the name of Jesus. I know that they are seeking for direction. They are seeking for knowledge and understanding. But God, your word says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Your word says in Matthew, O God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God, we want your kingdom to come in our lives. Father, your word says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Order our footsteps. Your word, O God, says your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I pray that God, every man, every woman, this prayer line tonight, when they come into contact with the false prophetic, something in them is going to rise up. Alarm bells are going to ring in their spirit to say, this is not of God. That they will not be taken in by flashy things or trendy things, what they wear, how they dress, how they walk, how they speak. But God, they will be looking for the fruit of the Spirit in the vessels you are sending. That they will be able to see gentleness. They will be able to see meekness. They will be able to see love. They will be able to see kindness in those that you're using. They will be able to see the temperament of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, wherever they come into contact with the prophetic, may they be able to judge it against the word of God, not against their own desires, but against the word of God. Father, where they discard the true prophets, like Jehoshaphat did and Ahab did, because it did not prophesy good to them, but he was speaking the true word of God, bring them to a place where they are more in love with the truth of God than they are with what they want to hear. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We want to hear the voice of God. We want to hear clear direction that God is giving us, leading us into all truth. I know that there are many false prophets that have gone in our midst, O God, but your Spirit will allow us to differentiate and separate between the true prophets and the false prophets. And I pray that, O God, the true ones you send, we will receive their words as the word of God, not the words of man. Let our ears, O God, be tuned to hear the voice of heaven, not the voice of the heart of man, nor the voice of the heart of the spirit of the devil, but to hear the voice of the Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge tonight that the true prophets walking in our midst that are hearing what God is saying, let their tongues be loosed that they be able to speak. In the churches, O God, where they are hindered, let the chains of hindrance be broken that they be able to speak. And where the false prophets are declaring, Father, as the word says, let their tongues cleave the rooftops of their mouths. Let them not be able to speak, for they speak the words of the devil, lies. Father, as they, even when they speak, let their words not enter into our ear gates, but let them be ignored. Let our faith, O God, be not built on false prophetic words, for we will not build our faith on shaky foundations, but we are building our faith on the true word of the living God. Yes, O God, your prophets speak like voices crying out in the wilderness. Our hearts are ready to hear. Our hearts are ready to receive instruction. Father, if it be a word of rebuke, it is because you love us. If it be a prophetic word to bring correction, it is because you love us. If it be a word to cause us to change direction, it is because you desire for us to change. We're not looking for a positive prophetic word in the sense when we receive it, it is positive. But Father, the true weight of the word is having the word of God direct and guide and lead us in our lives. For every man who is here, O God, who has been struggling, waiting for that prophetic word to come to pass, that has not been sanctioned by you, God, for their lives, let them be removed from association with that prophetic word, but bring them into divine alignment with the prophetic word you have released over their lives. Father, I declare and I decree that their ears tonight are being cleansed to hear only what heaven has to say. Father, for those that have developed an addiction towards false prophetic words, I declare that tonight that addiction is broken in the name of Jesus. For those, O God, that are seeking for prophecies, O God, and prophetic voices, I declare that, O God, that taste is being taken away. Let them desire to hear the true prophetic words of God and the true prophetic voices. Father, for those that have had to build their faith on the shaky foundations of the false prophetic words, let the foundations be repaired and restored tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, for those that have suffered the disappointments of waiting to see prophetic words being fulfilled that haven't been fulfilled because they did not come from you, let that disappointment, O God, be broken. Let the true voice and the true prophetic word of God come and replace those things in the name that is above any other name. I pray, O God, for those that have been wounded by the false prophets that have spoken over their lives, that you are the healer. Let the healing balm of Gilead go and heal their hearts. Bring restoration. And Father, bring a trust and a faith in the true prophetic in their lives. Father, I know that some of their households have been messed up, marriages have been broken, and divided families because of the false prophets that have been speaking. I pray that, oh God, tonight, as you are taking the authority of those words that have been holding them hostage, let the true prophetic word of God come over their lives and the true will of God and the intent of God for them bring restoration and healing. I declare that, oh God, as the false prophets are going to be exposed, healing is going to take place in their relationships. Healing is going to take place in their households for your glory and for your glory alone. For your glory and for your glory alone. And Father, for that weight of expectation, waiting for a false prophetic word to be made manifest, waiting for a false prophetic word to be fulfilled, let that expectation be broken, oh God, tonight, in the name that is above any other name. And I pray, oh God, for that, Father, you will reveal, you will reveal, you will reveal, you will reveal, as they go through their minds in their contemplation and their meditation, you will reveal every false prophetic word spoken over their lives, and that they will embrace the true prophetic word spoken over them. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 So I just want to recap again tonight the few things that I've said. I said I'm going to pick it up again. And next week we'll do a part number two, because I really didn't get into much detail. But I just say the prophet is one who's speaking under divine inspiration. Divine inspiration. That's number one. A prophet is one who's speaking under divine inspiration. And we said there are three classifications of spirit. There's the spirit of God, there's the spirit of man. Ezekiel calls it out of their own heart. And then number three, the spirit of the devil. So whenever you receive a prophetic word, judge by discerning the spirit. Is it coming from the spirit of God? Is it coming from the heart of man? Is it coming from the spirit of the devil? Then, whenever you have a prophetic word, as number one, judge by the Spirit, judge the Spirit. Number two, does that word measure? How does that word measure with the word of God? Number three, look at the fruit of the prophet. And we said fancy cars and flashy cars, big houses are not fruits of the Spirit. Judge them by their fruit, for by their fruit you shall know them. So you have to do that. So just a few things I wanted to reiterate those things again. Then I said we have a responsibility as the recipients of the prophetic word to judge the prophetic word. To judge the prophetic word. Next week I'm going to speak a little bit more in terms of contending with the prophetic word, because there's some prophetic words that are spoken over you that the enemy is going to raise up an army to resist the manifestation of that prophetic word. But you have to contend. You have to fight for the manifestation of that prophetic word. Somebody say hallelujah. So we will speak on that. But the reason why I'm taking time to really, really elaborate on these things is that we have to be grounded, because the prophetic affects our foundations. It affects our foundations. So we don't want to have shaky foundations because we believe false prophetic words. Like I said, these days, go on the internet, just type prophet somebody, you're going to get prophet somebody. In the day of Twitter, you're going to get prophet somebody. In the day of Facebook, you're going to get prophet somebody. In the day of internet TV, Periscope, you're going to get prophet somebody prophesying. Let me just give you this in closing. Here's what I normally do, just to give you a background. I don't want to say I'm somebody who's skeptical, but I'm somebody who's diligent. Can I say that? I am not somebody who's skeptical. I'm somebody who's diligent, because my faith is precious to me. I'm not somebody who's skeptical. I'm somebody who's diligent. That means now, if whenever I encounter somebody who is a prophet, like especially online, I encounter somebody who is a prophet, I usually just take their name, go to their website and see. That's number one. I do a brief study on their history because I want to know their fruit. I know that there are some, I know that there are prophetic, there are accusations that rise up because the enemy is also against the true prophets, but I use a whole criteria that I have. I'm judging. Let me see their fruit. Let me see how they do things. Are they manipulating people or are they not? I judge all that. There are a few people that are allowed to prophesy into my life. Because I'm very, like I said, my faith is very precious to me. So everybody wants to give you a prophetic word, but I don't have to receive a prophetic word from everybody. Okay? Now, here's the thing. I know that I'm saying I don't judge somebody by how they dress. I don't judge somebody by what they drive. I don't judge somebody by how big their ministry is. See, because the most important thing is my relationship with God. And whenever somebody gives me a prophetic word, how or where does it push me? Where does it put me with regards to my relationship with God? If it's going to cause me to separate from God, I'm going to discard this part of that prophetic word like there's no tomorrow. Because I don't want to be waiting on the fulfillment of a false prophetic word. Because my God is faithful. But thank you for being here tonight. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to show you some more things as the week progresses. And when we get together again, there are many things you're going to hear that are going to cause you to seek more the face of God than you seek for a prophetic word. Have a desire to strengthen your relationship with God.